Well, it's great to be with you again. I tour around, as many of you know, the churches in our team. So that's All Saints here, that's St. Mary's, St. Mark's, and Studland, St. Nicholas Studland, over the hill. And it's great to be with you again, as I said this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Well, I'd like to start with a question. Do we practice what we preach? Paul did. And in today's passage, we get an insight into Paul and his style of ministry and leadership as he writes to the church in Thessalonica. Many of us exercise ministry in many different ways here in All Saints, within the wider team and across ecumenical projects and activities in Swanage as well. So ensuring that we do this with the right motives and do it well is really important. And Paul's words here can help us to ensure that what we do has at its heart loving and serving God and loving and serving those around us too. Well, before we dive into what Paul's comments here reveal about his ministry style and leadership, it's probably worth us hearing a bit of background to set the scene. Paul is writing to a young church with whom he had stayed a very short period of time, just 3 weeks, before local opposition had forced him and his two companions, Silas and Timothy, to make a really very hasty exit. And you can read all about this in Acts 17. He almost certainly wanted to stay longer to build up the young church, but he couldn't. And he must have been anxious to provide further pastoral teaching and help to the congregation. But he couldn't physically do that. So he wrote this letter. And he wrote it to a church that, since he left, had grown both numerically and spiritually and had a growing reputation across the region as a thriving Christian community. It seems that some of Paul's comments in our passage today not only reveal core elements underpinning his ministry, but are also written in response to attempts by his opponents to discredit him. It appears that he was subject to a smear campaign, if you like. We don't exactly know what grievances these opponents of Paul had, but we can hazard a guess by looking at what he writes as he defends his conduct whilst he was with them in Thessalonica. But he calls supremely on God and the Thessalonians to be his witnesses that his intentions among them were honourable. He wasn't seeking personal gain, and he didn't care, and he did care for them in a very deep way. I think there are three particular elements that Paul writes about here, that, if you like, frame his and also Silas's and Timothy's ministry. They are motivation, openness and integrity, and deep love and commitment. So, motivation. Paul tells the Thessalonians that his purpose, with God's grace, was to tell them the gospel, come what may, in spite of strong opposition. Serving God faithfully was clearly Paul and his co-workers' motivation. Paul's purpose in preaching as an evangelist was not to make a name for himself or to satisfy his hearers, but to do only that which pleases God. He writes in verse 4, "On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel." We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. Our motivation for ministry should be the same, serving God faithfully where we are, in the ministries that we're called to. After all, he is the one to whom we are ultimately accountable. He is the one who also tests our hearts too. When our goal is to please God and to be accountable to him, we're able to have freedom and the right perspective in our ministries. And that's really important when we receive praise and criticism. Any praise we get won't cause us to become arrogant and aloof. And any criticism we get won't crush us, because we know that our motivations are centered upon pleasing our Lord God. Second, openness and integrity. Openness and integrity pour out of Paul's words in this passage. There were religious charlatans and fraudsters in Paul's day, just as there are these days. And it was precisely because of such characters Paul and the other apostles sought to conduct themselves with openness and integrity. We'll come back to that word integrity a little later on, but integrity is something that in some areas of our society these days is really missing. Paul didn't want the truthfulness of the gospel that had been entrusted to him to be undermined. As he points out, they never used flattery in their proclamation, or a mask to cover greed. They were open and honest in their preaching and in how they lived their lives. What they said and what they did married up. At one point in our reading this morning, Paul likens their presence among the Thessalonians as being like young children, which is a bit of a weird thing to say. But perhaps he's trying to emphasize the openness and directness and often simplicity of communication that you get with a child. Also, as many of you know, in Paul's time, children had no rights. So perhaps he was saying that he lived among them as one with no rights or status. He did have a status as an apostle, but he didn't push it. He didn't use his status. He also highlights that they worked very hard when they were in Thessalonica. They self-supported their ministry, and they didn't take any money, or they weren't a burden to the church there. Essentially, he is saying that our message is true, our motives are pure, and our methods are open and honest. We all need, as Christians, to live with openness and integrity. But especially those who have been entrusted with leadership of the church, with those who set public examples. Because when the messenger lacks integrity and openness, the message is tragically compromised and undermined. Integrity is so, so important. So what is integrity? Well, Stephen Carter, in his book entitled Integrity, writes this. Integrity requires three steps. Discerning what is right and what is wrong. Acting on what you have discerned, even at a personal cost. And saying openly that you are acting on your understanding of right from wrong. Integrity is not something that happens in our lives by accident. It involves us in the hard work of discerning what is right and what is wrong, and then acting and living it out consistently. It's not an academic exercise. It's not only a matter of ethical insight, if you like, or knowing what the Bible says. It's a matter of carrying out the discipline of doing it. Openness and integrity are things that aren't instantly acquired. If we're not prepared for the long haul, we're unlikely to achieve the kind of integrity that Paul here is talking about. And this integrity is fundamentally important for all of us in any of the ministries that we have been entrusted with. We need integrity. Because if the messenger isn't credible, the message is unlikely to be believed. Thirdly, Paul also talks of love and commitment. And he uses two wonderful metaphors to describe to his readers the depth of his love and commitment to them. And they reflect family and deep relationship. Their dealings with the sisters and brothers in the Thessalonian church were characterized by the sort of love that a nursing mother has for her infant. Love that is gentle and self-sacrificing. He also talks of the father-like tenderness he has for them. Far from being a burden to them, he takes on responsibility for them, as a good father should be responsible for his family. He was there to support them, encourage them, train them, and urge them to live for the glory of God. Paul's life and ministry amongst them was for their good and God's glory. Paul and his fellow workers gave themselves to the people there in Thessalonica. They didn't simply run in, dump the gospel message on them, and run away. But as they gave that gospel message, they also gave them their lives too. One of the subtlest pitfalls we can face in ministry is the temptation to meet our own needs through our ministries, or to do things for people to win their approval, or to get them to like us. Sometimes we will gladly serve others as long as somehow we benefit, or the strain on our time, energy, and money isn't too great. We also know that we all live in an age of self-centeredness, an age where we put me or I at the center of everything. We also know as Christians that true love is sacrificial. And this is at the heart of the gospel. Paul's example here of committed, costly love for others runs counter to our self-culture. In spending his time, he didn't think first of his own needs or rights as an apostle. As I said earlier, he could have done, but he didn't. all his focus was on the Thessalonians that he served. In doing this, he was simply following the example of his Lord and Saviour, of Jesus, who came to give, not to get, to serve, not be served. Paul and his companions seek that model of ministry that Jesus gave us, that of the servant, of serving in ministry and leadership. The strange thing is, though, that in serving others and in giving of himself, it appears from that passage that Bob read earlier, that Paul is finding happiness and satisfaction. In verse 8, it's evident that a strong bond of love had developed between Paul and those in that Christian community. He writes, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." It seems that Paul received back more than he ever imagined in his ministry. Paul proved in his life the truth of Jesus' words, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." If we miss this principle of turning away from self, of meeting the needs of others, of putting others first, then we will never be really happy. A selfish person is never happy, at least not for very long. And what Paul writes in this letter is deep contentment, contentment that his service and love are resulting in the building up of others. So as I draw to a close, I return to that question. Do we practice what we preach? Let me leave you now with a couple of questions to mull over the rest of Sunday and in the week ahead. Is your ministry based on foundations like Paul's? The same motivation, that of faithfully serving God with openness and integrity, with love and commitment? And how can I better model this in my life, in my ministry, and in any leadership that I may have?